Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Welcome to Man to Man Podcast. Before we begin our episode, we got to shout out Anchor for making this podcast even possible. Anchor is the easiest way to make a podcast. It's free, easy to use for recording and uploading your episodes. And the best part, they distribute the podcast for you so you can be heard on places like Spotify and Apple Podcasts. It also allows you to make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. Anchor is everything you need to make a podcast, all in one place. So download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Man to Man, the best NBA podcast where we bring you live updates, news, highlights, and entertainment straight to your ears. This is your co-host, Andy Elliott.
Alongside your co-host, Liam, the hoop star, Nash.
How you doing, Hoop? You doing all right?
Hey, trying to make it through here, man. This quarantine stuff, you never know how this is going to treat you.
Quarantine, chilling on the classes, not really doing anything right now?
Yeah, it's been hard. It's been hard for sure.
Feel you, bro. Well, I got my last paycheck in, so we'll see how we survive for the rest of the month here in Chicago. We apologize for the delayed episode. As we all know, COVID-19 has prevented us from coming out with much more on the NBA, as NBA Commissioner Adam Silver has indefinitely suspended the season. But with that being said, we promise you guys big things coming for 2020, so we intend to keep that promise. We're super excited to bring on our very first NBA player to talk to us about his process of making it in the league and everything going on with the NBA right now regarding to the coronavirus. So this young stud in the wall, originally from Nashville, Tennessee, listed as 6'5", shooting guard out of Lipscomb University, Washington Wizards professional shooter Garrison Matthews is here live with us. What's going on, G-Mats? How you doing, brother?
Man, I appreciate you guys having me on.
Hey,
we hope y'all staying safe out there.
Yeah, hope you're staying safe, bro. We appreciate you taking the time to, you know, come on and talk to us during this unusual and unprecedented time, as I say.
Sure is unusual, for it's sure.
Crazy.
Right.
So, Garrison, with everything going on right now, are you back home in Nashville, or are you just kind of self-quarantining in Washington?
Yeah, I'm back, and I've been kind of going back and forth. I stay at my dad's house in Kentucky and just kind of, but I'm staying mostly in Nashville. I'm trying to get my place right now, you know, to be by myself. My family, my stepdad's a little bit sick, so if anybody gets sick, it could be just a cold, but you know, everybody's on edge about anything.
Hey, no such thing as a cold. No,
trying to get my
right?
own place, but
right. So, how's this affecting? I'll ask you this: how is this affecting you, just personally, right now?
You know, I mean, like Andy said earlier, I mean, Adam Silver suspended us indefinitely for right now. So, I mean, my rookie season could be over. It could come back. You just don't know.
Right.
So I'm trying to do as much as I can to stay ready for if they call me back. And, you know, I got a gym that I work out here. That's a private gym. So that's, I'm fortunate. I have a half court I can shoot on. I got a weight room I can lift. So, I mean, I'm doing good, you know, it came in a time where, you know, your body's worn down. It's the end of the season. It's a grind. And so, I mean, really, it's a time where you can rest and kind of refocus and get ready for a push towards the end or just go into off season, man.
Right. Hey, we're big Pacers fans, man. Garrison, if you didn't know. So we're trying to get Depot to kind of get some rest. Like you guys are talking about, everyone's kind of getting that rest. You know, who knows? Maybe Kyrie and KD can come back and make a run in the East, but it's crazy.
Like you said, man, I mean, we got John Wall. We got John Wall that's been out all year.
Right. Yeah.
heck, yeah. Maybe he'll be good enough. I don't know what his status is, what he's going to do. But, yeah. I mean, it's cool. Like, since I'm on a two-way, I go back and forth. I've gotten to play with him in practice with the G League and be on his team and just play with him. It's impressive, man. I'll tell you that.
He's teaching you how to do the Dougie over there, too.
Exactly.
Hey, Garrison, well, nonetheless, man, let's just give our listeners some background on how you got to this point. We did our research, so check us out here. You played high school ball. It sounds like you were a football guy as well as a basketball guy. Not a Nashville boy. We're going to call you out on this. You know, you can say you're from Nashville. You ain't a Nashville boy like the Lipscomb boy over here. But you ended up getting offers from USC Upstate, UMass Lowell, and Austin Peay. You took official visits to Upstate and Lowell. But at the end of the day, you decided to go to your hometown favorite, right? Lipscomb University, where you ended up playing D1 basketball for 4 years and ultimately made history at that school program in multiple ways. Knowing that you took official visits to both of those schools, but not Lipscomb, from what I'm aware, how did you ultimately become a Bison?
Well, I mean, I didn't really have to take an official visit just because it was like 20 minutes from my house. And I, you know, I got to know the staff really, really well. Like, I got to know the other staffs as well, which they were great at the other schools, man. But ultimately, it came down to being close to home. You know, I was fortunate to have my family come to almost all my home games. So that was, yeah. That played a big role into it for sure. But I mean, the staff really sold it. I mean, I was fortunate to play for those guys. And it really worked out.
Yeah.
For sure.
And then, but that was probably the last option though? Looking at Lipscomb, like, were you more set? Was it like a last minute decision for you?
Yeah. Well, they had offered another guy and they were waiting to see what he was doing. And I was close to, it was between UMass Lowell and USC Upstate. And I was leaning towards Upstate. And Coach Alexander was letting this guy make his decision. He ended up committing somewhere else and he offered me and I committed that next day. So it was really, really towards the end of the period where guys are committing and stuff like that. So it was kind of late.
Okay. Right. Yeah, for sure.
But it worked out. It worked out in your favor, I would say. You know, it was pretty much a match made in heaven, right? Is that what you would say?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you look like I go from being a little fat kid that loves playing football to completely changing his body and changing his game where I end up having a great career and having a lot of success as a team, winning the championship. I wouldn't change the last 4 years for anything.
Right.
Well, let's kind of transition into this, you know, how you put yourself on the NBA radar. I mean, nonetheless, man, you had an amazing career at Lipscomb, being selected all conference in the ASUN as a sophomore, averaging about 22 points, leading your team to a first ever NCAA tournament. I was hyped. And then leading your team in scoring the last 3 years with over 20 points per game. You made a name not only for you, but also obviously for Lipscomb and that school's program. Like I said, was it the position that Lipscomb kind of put you in to have so much success, or was it the success that you created for yourself to ultimately put you on the radar for NBA scouts to have an interest in you?
I could not put my success just on myself. The success, but the amount of people that poured into me and invested in me, I think ultimately has helped me get to where I'm at. I mean, I go like my freshman year, I don't play much at the beginning. Somebody gets injured, one of our best players, and I kind of get thrust in there and I average like 10, I think, my freshman year.
Yeah.
And that off season, I was fortunate enough to meet a guy, his name's Jordan Romine, who is still my trainer today, but improved my game tremendously.
Yeah.
Each year my 3-point percentage went up from like 30% to end up being 40 by the time I graduated.
Right.
And I mean, the way Coach Alexander's style of play was fit perfectly for me. I mean, it was a lot of these things. And not only do they develop us on the floor, but off the floor as well. I mean, I come in as a hothead having off the court issues and they completely shape me as a person. On the court, yeah, for sure, but even off the floor, that helps me with the platform that I have today. So I'm very fortunate for that.
Yeah, I tell you, same thing, man. I grew up in public school, and then I transferred over to Lipscomb sophomore year of high school. And Richie Pickens, man, when I got on that basketball team, I was like, why is everybody quitting, man? I was like, oh shit, hey, Richie Pickens ain't playing over here. It's Lipscomb basketball over here, baby.
For sure.
Yeah, super
for
dope,
sure.
Man. Super dope for sure.
I mean, I would just say, I think it's like you kind of mentioned, I think it was just accumulation of, at least from what I saw, you know, as Lipscomb's building up to be a better and better, you know, program in general as a Division I. You mean, you hear even ESPN reporters say now, like, hey, Lipscomb, you got to watch out for Lipscomb, or even like a Belmont in that, in those small conferences. And I think you and that team that made a run kind of put them on a map for, per se. Is that kind of your same mindset in that?
Yeah. You know, what's crazy you say about that is when Coach Alexander took the job, he had a lot of guys that weren't his. I mean, they were great guys. I got to play with some of them, great players, but the culture completely started to change. I mean, I remember walking into the student center one day, and somebody went up to him and started talking to him, and they were like, you know what, it's kind of cool you did this, because no way the past couple of years with the best player in Lipscomb would come up to me and start talking in the student center.
Nice.
So Coach Alexander set this culture that he wanted. Mm-hmm. He wanted guys that were high character, guys that were going to make the school look good. And I know you have great athletes, you're going to have a good program or whatever, but that's something that's overlooked that helps a team so much. When you have a good culture of good guys, I mean, we got to play with each other for a while through years, and that helped for sure. But you got a good culture of good guys, nobody cares who's taking the shots, nobody cares who's scoring all the points. Right. And that's really, really what set us up for success.
All right. So let's go into then, okay, so your college career is finished. You looking towards the combine, I'm guessing, the NBA combine. I think you had a couple of looks from either, I think it was the Hawks and the Wizards, obviously, and go with the Wizards. I mean, play in some of those games. You even started one of those games.
You started two of the games.
Yeah. And so how was that like playing in the summer league compared to your college career? In fact, that you were playing against, you know, top round draft picks, how does that affect your pressure level and stuff, you know, to ultimately try to push for a roster spot?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, throughout college, obviously I had a great career, but a lot of scouts and a lot of people in the professional level are like, the questions were, can this guy do this against higher level talent? I mean, obviously I come from a weaker conference, so there's going to be those kind of questions. And really, I think because I never thought I had a chance to be where I'm at today, for sure. And I think really what really helped me out was that NIT run we made. I got to play against high level talent. I made
that NC State game, boy.
I'm telling you, those games right there really put me on the map and showed that I can play against good talent, great talent. And so that I was fortunate enough to sign with an agent soon after the NIT. He put me in a position. I went up to Myrtle Beach for a month, and he put me in a position. I think I had 14 teams scheduled to work out with. Nice. And I ended up doing 7 of them, then got injured. So I had to sit out till after the draft. Heard from the Wizards they wanted to do a two-way that night of the draft. Quickly jumped on that. And then, you know, it's funny you say that, because like even now, like where I'm at, I'm constantly at all just thinking, man, I come from a mid-major talent.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, you're playing against guys like, I know when you guys played the Knicks in that last, I think it was the last summer league game, like, you know, RJ Barrett and Kevin Knox. And I was actually looking at it the game before. I think the first game you started was against the Clippers. They had you listed as a power forward. but I mean, you're going against guys like Jerome Robinson, who actually is on the Wizards now.
And, I remember that.
The biggest thing that kind of Liam and I were talking about, and we watch summer league every summer, it almost seems like these guys, you know, like you're saying, that come from a mid-major school or weaker conference, these guys are trying to get spots. So is there more of like a selfish side, you know, even though it's not really said that you're going to shoot the ball, like you got to get your years in, you know, as they say, but is there any teaching from that? Hey, I know you guys are gonna be selfish from the coaching staff, but hey, be selfless and pass the ball, and kind of that's the way you would get better recognized, and rather just go out there and just, you know, try to make a name for yourself, and you might do something stupid while you're doing it.
Yeah. And I think that's a lot of what guys come out like first year out of college and stuff like that, they struggle with their identity, and they don't play within themselves and their game. They try to venture off and do stuff that they normally wouldn't. And that's not their game. And I've always been a team guy. I've always been played through and with my teammates. And I try to always stick to that. I try to play the right way. I play with other people. You know, obviously there's some questions sometimes about shot selection with anybody. but that's really where my game comes from. And when you get into that, you really, really have to check yourself and your ego.
Right.
If you got a high ego, man, you ain't gonna make it, because I go from averaging 20 the past 3 years to sitting on the bench.
Right.
It's just a different feel. But if you got a big ego, you're gonna struggle with that.
Right.
But if you stick to playing with the team, playing the right way, and not venturing outside of yourself, you're gonna be all right. And that's really what I've tried to stick to.
Yeah. Sure. I feel like that would be the biggest thing for any player, you know, not even coming from taking all of the other scenarios out of it. That's what a player deals with day in and day out, of going and transitioning from any team to a new team, right? That's just, but I mean, obviously for you, I feel like it might've been just a little bit more, I don't know, more of an impact, but it seems like you dealt with it well, you moved on, and that's why you are in the position you are today. I guess the follow-up to that one is just, my biggest thing is, all I kept hearing was, when you were getting drafted, was the media this, the media that, and it's like, some of the interviews I saw, you did great in them. You answered the questions that needed to be answered in a very, you know, precise way. But did you have any like training in like answering media questions at all?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I necessarily had practice. I mean, we'd always have, like, after our games, that you have a great game, you interview with the courtside guys or whatever. But I mean, it was on like ESPN3 and stream and stuff like that. So right. I credit that to kind of the way I was raised. I've always been kind of a humble guy.
Right.
I hate the spotlight. I hate talking about my successes. I hate, you know, what I did this game, I'm gonna sit here and reflect on it. Nah, I don't do that. And I know, like, personally, I wouldn't be who I'm at without my teammates. You right. know, like, I play with my teammates, and a lot of them, I credit them to the buckets that I got from, whether it be a great screen, a great pass, a great look from one of my teammates. And I talk about that in my interviews, because I mean, I've always been big on trying to be a humble guy. I mean, you got to have confidence, which I don't struggle with, but there's a fine line between cockiness and confidence.
Right.
And you can tell the guys in their interviews who's all about themselves and who's about the team. So when I'm doing interviews and stuff like that, I try to reflect on the team, because that's what's most important. That's where I know, like, if I ain't got my teammates, I ain't doing this, you know? So right. that's really important to me. And that's kind of how I handle the media. But no, to answer your question, there wasn't much practice that I had with that. It was just the way I am.
Right. Well, then that's the perfect answer then, you know?
Yes, first answer. Yeah.
Perfect answer. Again, you know, I guess you could call us a media for some reason, but I mean, perfect answer again. So let's go into, you know, you go through the combine, you get the summer league over with. Now you're on the Washington Wizards team. At that point, was that the point in which you know, felt that all your hard work really just paid off? And now that you're on, I mean, officially you're on an NBA roster, was that the point in which, oh my gosh, I've done all this hard work, I've done this and that, I mean,
did something after that.
What was that sequence of, like, I made the spot, I'm here, I made it, like, was that the goal at the beginning? Like, I made it?
Nah, man, I have not felt content with where I'm at, regardless. I mean, I was happy with when I signed that two-way and I got that call, but now my next step is being forward or straight roster, you know?
Right.
And even with that Heat game where I played really well, you know, I was at halftime, I had like 22. I was like, all right, I got to carry it in. And I always am thinking about the next step that I have to do. I'm not sitting here and pleased with what I've just done. I mean, yeah, I'm happy that I did that, but I don't sit here and reflect on it. I know it's over and you got to move on. And so to answer your question, no, I'm not content with where I'm at. I've always set goals for myself. And even when I signed that two-way, I'm like, oh, I made it. No, my next step is to be on the roster. Once I sign that roster spot, there's going to be another goal. I'm not going to be content with just being on the roster. I'm still going to continue to work as hard as I can to meet that next step that I have. So no, there's never a point where I'm going to be like, okay, I'm content. Cause if I'm content, then I'm in trouble.
Right. I was going to say, that was my, I was going to be my follow-up. It's just like, so you obviously just said your next goal is to be on the roster. So say you reach that goal. Cause I think that's a very, you know, foreseeable goal as of right now. So what's that next, you know, future goal then that I'll say that you made the roster spot? Are you, what do you even think that far ahead, or what's that goal for you?
I mean, no, I haven't thought about it. I mean, right now I'm really just focused on, you know, trying to make that roster. And then to be honest with you, like after I make that roster, I mean, even now, like I want to win games and win a championship. But once I make that roster, it's going to quickly turn into winning the championship. Like when I won player of the year, man, it was way more important that we won a championship. I care way more about winning than I do about where my head is with that.
All right.
Well, you just talked about it. We're going to go into how you got the nickname professional shooter. Yeah. No, you're good. Within weeks of joining the Wizards, right? You mentioned in a pregame interview that you're not just a basketball player, but you're a professional shooter. And then somehow you go and drop 28 points that night against a Miami Heat team that's just absolutely balling right now in the East. Let's take a look at that real quick.
All right.
Do you want to see how good Garrison is as a student? Garrison, if you could just look into the camera and just tell people, what do you do for a living?
See, I had to sit down and think about this, you know? I had to talk to a few people, had to really change my mindset and realize that I'm not just a basketball player, I'm a professional shooter.
Thanks, brother. So you couldn't even do it with a straight face.
That's a good one. That's one of the best interviews I think I've ever seen.
So we love this quote from you, man. What inspired you to come up with that title? And is this the Garrison Matthews we're about to see for years to come, man?
Yeah, what's funny about that is Chris Miller, the guy that was interviewing me, came in the locker room a few days before and he was talking. He was like, Garrison, you know what you do? I'm like, what? He's like, you're not just a basketball player. I'm like, what are you telling me? He's like, you're a professional shooter. And he's mine. And on Monday or whatever day it is, the night of the Heat game, you're going to do an interview for it. You're going to tell the audience that's what you are. So it was meant for a joke. It was not serious. It was planned out. And at the end of the video, I start laughing. The sports center, when they put it on, it just cuts that off and makes me look like I was being dead ass. And it was funny because it's like, damn, man, I look so cocky doing this. And that's not like, I hate that, but I mean, it's funny how they made that play out for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know because I got a lot of texts after that. I was like, what has gotten into you? This is new.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, we clipped the whole interview, so we got justice on that. You got justice on seeing you laughing afterwards.
Sports Center, dude.
But so funny. You mentioned it a little bit earlier here, but I just want to know really, like, you know, you mentioned John Wall, you mentioned Bradley Beal, you mentioned, I mean, even like an Isaiah Thomas at the time. All of them have been an all-star. So how has, like, being a part of a team with all-stars on it, like, impacted you in involving your game? You know, have you taken anything away from them?
Yeah, no, they have for sure. I mean, they're great players, one, but also, I mean, they're great guys. I mean, they're quick to want to help younger guys, quick to help them learn. And fortunate enough for me, I've built the mindset, yeah, I was the guy in college that's always getting the ball. Now my role has completely changed. I'm the role player who's going to knock down open shots and play super hard on defense. And that's what my role is. And I got to accept that. I'm not going to score, 30 points a game. That's for Brad. That's for John. I'm there to play as hard as I can. And if they see something wrong, they're going to tell you. If they see you do something right, they're going to congratulate you. Like, they're those type of dudes. And, you know, just watching them and the way they lead by example. And I haven't gotten to play with John, but he's very vocal on the bench, and I've gotten to practice him a lot. And I've learned a ton from him in practice, and just listening to him and the way he leads and the way he tells people to do certain things. And then when I'm playing with Brad, I mean, it's just fun playing with him, man, just watching him and the way he breaks people down. And I enjoy being able to help space the floor for him. I mean, when you see like guys that can't help off a meal much, so that opens lanes for him. And it's a very valuable piece because it's easier for him to get buckets. But man, those guys are just great leaders. You know, I mean, John Wall, we were doing a one-on-one drill in practice like a couple weeks ago, and he drove past me and just banged on my head. And I don't know why I jumped with him, but I did. But he's not one of those guys. He's not gonna trash talk you into that. He's on to the next play. I like how much they talk with their play, you know.
Right.
Like I think all that trash talking is fake toughness. If you talk with your play, that's important to those guys. That's what they do. Right. And it's just fun to watch, man. And a guy like me, first coming out of college, is you can learn so much from those guys just by watching them.
Right.
Yeah. And it's helped to develop. And plus, like in preseason, I was always against Brad, and I was always guarding him in practice. And yeah, he gave me buckets, but it continued to make me better defender. And you can see drastically how much my defense has improved from college, just right. being able to guard him. And that's helped me out more than I can say.
Right, right. Yeah, I was just about to mention you and Brad, it seems like, had the same role. So I was just thinking while you were saying, I was like, you've had to gone up against Brad multiple times in practice. Yeah. And John Wall using that left-hand dunk is ferocious, man. You can't stop.
All on my head. All on my head.
All right, Gary. So we only got a couple more for you. We won't take too much of your time. But we're going to go into, I think you already mentioned it, so we're not going to ask that first question, Liam, about, you know, the season being suspended, you know, right. What's it mean for a player like your position? We kind of already talked about that. We'll do our last one.
You know what's tough about that? I'm gonna mention that real quick.
Yeah, go for
is
it.
Is for a guy like me coming out of college, doing those pre-draft workouts or everything, being able to go and show what I can do in front of these teams against high level guys, just those 6-man workouts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tough for a guy like me. If I was coming out of college this year, I may not be here.
Right.
Yeah. Guys coming out of college that are mid-major this year, they're not going to get a chance to do pre-draft workouts. They're not going to get a chance to be seen by these in the NCAA tournament. And so it's going to be tough for those guys. They might not have jobs just because of this disease that's going around, man. It's tough. Right.
That's like pretty much the perfect scenario for you, because if you were, you know, you got held back 1 year, or you took a redshirt year and this was your year, you might not be in this position. Is that fair to
exactly.
say?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
It's crazy, man. It hurts. It's hurting so many guys. I mean, obviously you got those high major guys that it probably won't hurt, but the mid major guys that are on the verge, like I was, man, it's killing them.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. And then, you know, we were just talking about giving the whole seriousness of the situation. Like, what do you think will happen with the rest of the season? Have you heard of anything, or do you have like any sort of idea of when they're coming back, or is the NBA season just done with, man, this year?
I have no clue. Like, absolutely no clue. I mean, yeah. I'm just trying to stay ready. I know, I mean, you know, for a lot of guys, I'm fortunate enough to have a private house that this guy lets me work out at.
Mm-hmm.
So I can stay in shape and stay ready as much as I can. But, man, we just have no clue. I mean, I could be in the off season right now, you know.
Right.
But you just never know.
So I guess the last question we got for you is, I mean, obviously we all know what's going on right now in the whole, you know, terms of the big world situation, but what for you and the mindset that you have as a basketball player is where do you see yourself, you know, after the season? Like, we kind of touched on it, but like, what is like your, I don't know, what is the mindset for saying like, what do you want to accomplish from the rest of the season? If it does start back up, if it doesn't start back up, where is your headspace in terms of the future for Garrison Matthews after this season?
Yeah. I mean, if we were to continue the season, man, I want to continue, just help us win games, play as hard as I can, show that I can defend, show that I can knock down shots. And then after that, if I'm on the roster next year, man, just play as hard as I can to win games. Right. I believe I'm a roster player. I mean, the opportunity that I've been given this year, I played well. And I'm fortunate, like, I hate that some of our guys got injured, but it put me in a position where I had to get an opportunity. And a lot of two-way guys don't get that.
Right.
So I've shown what I can do, and I believe that I've shown that I can be on the roster. And from there, man, I'm just going to play as hard as I can to help us win games. I mean, once I sign that contract, I mean, I'm all in for the team. And I mean, I'm all in for the team right now, but you know what I mean? Right, you're going to be all just focused on just straight winning. Right. And that's it. And that's all I'm looking forward to once I sign that contract, is be able to just play as hard as I can for that team and just win games, man. I mean, I don't care what my role is, as long as I'm helping the team win.
Right. I got a question on top of that, if you don't mind, Garrison. So you have this two-way contract. For the people that might not know a lot about what that means, especially with this whole weird stuff going on right now, does your contract have a set date for both of these teams that you play for, the G League and the Wizards, or are they doing anything to that to kind of move that around a little bit since all this is happening? Or how does a contract like that work? When does it end?
Well, so the way it works is I signed that two-way contract, and all with the preseason, I was with the NBA team, and all the way up until the G League preseason started, and they didn't count towards my days. So with the two-way, you get 45 max days in the league. And so I was with the G League at the beginning, got hurt, I was out for a while. And then I got about 20 days or so with the NBA team. During the season, I never practiced with them, not once during the season. So I was always either practicing with the G League or playing with them, and then they call me up for that game that night. So it's tough going back and forth like that. Just being able to build chemistry with the guys up there and having them trust you with the ball and having them trust passing you the ball like that. I mean, you can't really build chemistry like that, that you want to have, but it's good for me to get experience, and play a lot of minutes, 'cause I can play for both teams. But now I'm not sure, like, if the NBA season comes back, I don't know if the G League season will come back, may or may not. If it doesn't, then I'll be with just straight Wizards. It won't count towards days or anything. So I could just play with them and practice with them. So that'll be good. But if the G League season continues, I would imagine that I would be practicing with them, and then they'd call me up for games just like the normal regular season.
Right.
I just hope your Wizards don't see our Pacers in the playoffs, man.
Yeah, I know. Y'all got a chance to come back now and make that at least that eighth spot, man. So
it'd be nice to make a little push, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, Garrison, man, we really do appreciate you coming on. You know, thank you for being, I guess, the best guest that we've had on our podcast so far. Just know that, man, all of Nashville is behind you. We are supporting you in your future endeavors right now, and we really hope that you and your family stay safe through all these unprecedented times, man. Appreciate it.
I appreciate it. It means a lot, and I hope y'all's family stays safe as well. And anytime y'all ever want to talk, man, just hit me up. I appreciate y'all having me on.
Of course, of course.
Appreciate it.
Well, with that, this week's episode is a wrap. Make sure to follow us on social media at Man to Man Podcast on Instagram and at Man to Man Pod on Twitter. And go rate us those 5 stars, you know, good reviews on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Make sure also for our YouTube listeners, make sure you hit that subscribe button, as we live stream all of our episodes every Wednesday and Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern time. But with that, we will catch you next Wednesday. Namaste to you guys. Yo, namaste.
Pace the Nation, baby. Straight hustling, big thumb rolling, only in the night.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.